This is episode 110, recorded on May 24th, 2013. Packard Pokes at the Quickie Booty Podcast Call.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far, far east coast is Crystal Says So.
Good evening, sinners.
And joining us from the mitten of the United States is Dave. You're damned.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. Are you on the lake, Dave?
Oh, I'm on here.
Okay, I was going to say, if you're on the lake, that would be where you're saying ahoy, you know.
Woohoo!
I'd like to let everybody know, we had announced this some time ago that we might be doing a short version show of the show here. And tonight, guess what? You get that tonight. You're getting the short version show. So let's get on with that right now.
Give me the news!
Before we get ready with the rest of the news, actually, we're going to talk briefly about the Boy Scouts. They have a big announcement out there just the other day that they finally are allowing gay Boy Scouts to join the troops. Two caveats to this, that Boy Scout leaders that are gay are still banned. And if you're an atheist or agnostic, you're out of luck, too. And it's sad that atheists and agnostics are still a minority in this United States that people can still be bigoted against. And until everybody's accepted, I still will not support the Boy Scouts until everybody's accepted. Gay, straight, agnostic, atheist, whatever. But you know what? They're getting money from the federal government. So in actuality, I don't think they should have the right to ban that. We're going to get some quick thoughts on this. Crystal, your thoughts on the Boy Scouts change over the last few days.
Welcome to the real life. I'm really surprised that they really came out with that decision yesterday. You know, we discussed this before, and we didn't think that they would come to any kind of conclusion. So I'm just going to look on the positive side of this and say it's baby steps. It's progress. And I'm so glad to see it because I do support the kids. I don't support the organization's values, but I do support the kids. The kids have nothing to do with this decision or this choice, but I'm really glad to see this happening, and change is coming. We're part of this change, and I'm really it's an exciting time to be here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So that's my thoughts.
Okay. Dave, your thoughts?
Well, incidentally, I was actually listening to the radio earlier today, and they were interviewing James Dale, who's the original Boy Scout leader who had sued the Boy Scouts in 1990, and then it went to the Supreme Court in the year 2000. And he was giving his comments on it. He was 19 at the time, and he was one of the top Boy Scouts in his group and all of that. You know, he's 42 years old now and still really feels that this was not necessarily a fully good thing. His point, which I agree with, is that they're giving this message to kids that no matter how good you are, I mean, even now they can have a gay person who is in the Boy Scouts who can be at the top of their group and do great, but as soon as they turn 18, you're out.
Yeah.
It's really a mixed value system there.
Yes, it is. It really is. And I, quite frankly, until they accept everybody, I personally can't support them yet. I mean, I'm glad they're making progress, you know, but this is still a situation that still needs to be attended to. And
yeah, certainly.
We need to get in there. We need to show these people that discriminating against people because they're gay or atheist or agnostic, then you should not be allowed to be organized.
And now there are even there's talks of parents doing offshoot organizations that are similar to the Boy Scouts that then they will still be able to discriminate in that. Yeah. So we'll see if that actually happens.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that if there are offshoots, at least let's just hope the offshoots have, you know, intelligence. And then they say, you know what, we're going to accept everybody. Doesn't matter if you're agnostic, atheist, gay, from the kids to the leader. And then you're good to go. But anyway, we needed to touch base on that. So let's get on to the rest of the show now.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science is a wonderful thing, especially when battling stuff like cancer and other nasties out there. Unfortunately, sometimes our peer review system does break down, and I will be the first to admit that science, it's not perfect, but it's the best, and it's better than, you know, God did everything. Well, then the answer's dead if you just say that, or the question is dead after that. The problem is that recently there's come out that scientists have been trying to figure out ways to cure cancer, and they're not doing the proper peer review that they're supposed to be doing. The cures or whatever will work for one person or a group, but then they kind of mix it onto the next set. They're supposed to verify it, and they're either being pressured to say, "Hey, this worked, so just kind of push it through." So since science takes so long, then it costs more money and more peer review, and then it feels like nothing's being done. Unfortunately, that does how science works. We takes time to get this stuff fixed and get it working, but we need to peer review this stuff properly. If we're going to move ahead as a culture and to cure these diseases, let's figure this stuff out the right way and do it right way the first time. Crystal, your thoughts?
Packer, do you mind if Dave goes first on this? This is his story. He found it. Okay. Really has that.
So, all right, sure.
If you don't mind.
All right, sure. Dave, you go. You ahead. You go first.
The main part of this story was that they're finding that these peer-reviewed studies in major scientific journals were not actually repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's telling to how paramount to the process of science that in the scientific method, things need to be repeatable. You can't just have something happen once and then say, well, that's it.
Yeah.
It needs to be something that's repeatable by your
right.
peers. And what they've found is that, I mean, this study by Plus One, it's called,
mm-hmm.
they had found that nearly 50% of the people that they interviewed in a specific research lab, when anonymously given this quiz, they were admitting that at least once they had pushed something through that did not have adequate repeatability.
Right.
A lot of this tends to be from students who are told that, you know, they have to have some sort of study that's published in a major journal in order to get their degree underneath their professor.
All right.
So they're told that they have to do that. So it's very competitive. So that happens. What I found interesting is that a lot of the senior faculty, what this is saying is 48.2%, 41 out of 85 interviewed, stated that they were able to actually publish their contradictory findings.
Mm-hmm.
When they discovered that it was not repeatable, which is a good thing, but still, I mean, this is problematic.
Yes, it really is. It's we need to peer review this stuff properly. Otherwise, the whole point of the study is total garbage at the end. Because if it doesn't work, then the only person that helps is the person that's lining their pockets with the money for it.
Well, absolutely, and that's kind of the point. Is that a lot of these people are publishing so that they can continue to get their funding.
All right.
And a lot of these, I mean, really, it's a waste of money and time and
yep.
effort for everyone involved if the studies that are coming out aren't repeatable and good science.
Right. It might as well be homeopathy at this point. If they're not going to do it, it's that
diluted. Yes.
Yes. If they don't do it properly, it's homeopathy, and homeopathy, everybody knows, doesn't work. And anybody who thinks it does, well, you're just kidding yourself.
But water has memory.
Yeah, I've heard that one. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, I really wasn't trying to. I'm sorry if I put you on the spot there, you did such a good job. This was really such a great story, and you had such a good take on it that I didn't want to like take away from what you really had to say. It was so interesting. I'm a cancer survivor. I owe my life to science. So I'm a big supporter, and I think that, like, kind of like you said, something is better than nothing. The cancer is going to kill you one way or the other, so anything they can come up with to try to help is welcomed and is praised in my eyes. I give them all the credit. However, big pharmaceuticals behind a lot of this research, and people will do anything for money. So it's kind of a disheartening study at the same time. You hope that people have got the right heart. They're in it to help other people, help your fellow beings. But in reality, I think money is a big factor in this. People will say anything for the dollar. Yeah. I read this story with great interest and also kind of with a kind of great sadness, too.
Yes. Unfortunately, yeah. And unfortunately, there are people out there that the dollar is what's ruling them. It's not how the dollar should rule. It's the science that rule. Once you get done to the, when it comes down to it, the science should be your final answer, not how much dollars it's going to bring in. But I can understand that. They want to finish the work because people get antsy. They go, we need another cure. We need another cure. And it's like, and if you don't have it, then they go, well, we'll just find somebody else that's going to do it. And they don't give them the proper time to finish their research. They say, oh, well, I think I've got a cure for this one. And so it sparks the interest again. So,
well, it's kind of almost like just a shoulder shrug. I mean, you know, when you've got 62%, like one in three scientists that kind of just like shrug their shoulders, like, no, we can't actually reproduce the study. Mm-hmm. Sad.
Yes, it really is. It really is. All right. Well, then let's get into our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
I love doing these Onion stories because people out there are just crazy. There is.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. No, you don't.
Yes, I do. No, I don't. People out there would do all kinds of crazy things. Two men out in Fresno had butt dialed 911 while they were breaking into cars. You know, there's a lot of things you do with your phone. You know, if you're going to break into some place, don't put your phone somewhere you can actually dial something, especially if you can do something illegal. These two men, while they're planning to break into some cars, they're planning out this burglary. One of them actually not dialed 911 on the cell phone. So it appeared that the so-called butt dial landed the pair in jail after Fresno followed the clues that they were overheard at this crime scene. They said, "I've never heard something like this," said Police Sergeant James Rios. "There has been times where dispatchers hear something like this, but never has a call come in before a crime is being committed and staying all the way to the end." Apparently what happened is these two 20-year-old kids, Nathan Telemarian and Carson Reinhardt, both age 20, spoke about scoring drugs as they drove around with the 911 dispatchers listening in. One of the voices mentioned that they had a hammer ready, and just as they, you know, then they hear glass breaking. Then, you know, this is just so crazy. Crystal, your thoughts?
Karma, 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 karma. This is funny, but I'm not going to make too much fun of them because I butt dial all the time. So, I think it was just funny that they had that dispatcher in on the whole time, you know, listening as they're planning this, and one says, "I got a hammer," and then you hear crap. Just epic. I mean, gosh, Darwin Award material. Come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is definitely Darwin. You know, if they had, you know, the thing is, I don't believe in karma because, for many reasons, because then good things happen bad things happen to good people because they're supposed to happen to them, but that's a whole other issue. This is just stupidity, just plain stupidity on their part. Wow. Some people just don't realize that. You know, I love my cell phone. Well, I don't love it sometimes. I have a love-hate relationship with my cell phone because I love the fact that I have it, and I hate the fact that it doesn't do what I want it to do. And this is just an odd situation where somebody who's got their phone and they obviously don't have any clue on how to use a cell phone. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, have you ever butt dialed 911? I have.
Oh no.
So not my current phone, but my last phone that I had, mm-hmm. It had this option because I could lock the phone. So it had an option to, even if the phone was locked for a security issue or whatever, you could still call the police.
Uh-huh.
So I found myself at some point, I had butt dialed the police.
Oops.
So I can say that I understand how that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is just too good. I mean, people driving around, breaking into cars, talking to essentially the dispatcher. I mean, I can't wait for that court case to have all of that evidence. There's no way these kids are getting out of it.
Is this you? No, that wasn't me. It sounds like you. Yeah, well.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And they have, I mean, they have the records that say it was that cell phone and mm-hmm. all of that. So, I mean, there's just no way. I mean, they're breaking into cars with a hammer. Apparently, they scored some prescription medication along yep. the way. So, I mean, they've got that and evidence of them speaking about that.
Right.
They're talking about scoring drugs. It's multifaceted to the criminal activity that these young kids were doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just ridiculous. I had something like this happen to me just the other day. I had my cell phone turned on, and I had the screen unlocked. And unbeknownst to me, I forgot I shoved it in my pocket. And then parts of my jacket must have been damp or something because the screen is touch activated. So something inside my pocket was dialing numbers because randomly I'd hear it ringing in my headphones on. And I hear the phone start ringing. It's like, what the heck? So I have to go quick shut it off. It's like, who am I calling? So I dialed like three different people that I had no idea I was dialing. I was like, oops, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dial you. So yeah, these things happen. But you know, but if you're gonna butt dial the police, yeah, just make sure you're not involved in a crime at the time. All right, let's get going to our next topic for this evening.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
Tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about, since they had the tornado strike down in Oklahoma, and if you're out there, please do not send prayers to Oklahoma. Send something that they can use. Money, okay? Send money, goods. Get in touch with the Red Cross because prayers do nothing. Now, with that part of it out of the way, let's talk about God's involvement in all this. Now, people say that God controls everything. If God said it in his master plan, if everything is God's creation, and God has a master plan, and everything that God does is in his plan, then he planned for this tornado to kill these people. Now, personally to me, if there was a deity or anybody that planned to kill people, then I would say that they were a dick. So tonight's topic, we're going to talk about God's master plan with tornadoes and natural disasters. So since Dave's been, for the most part, has been going last on this, we're going to put up 7 minutes up on the clock here, and we're going to start the timer now. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, well, you know, this is just a recurring thing where, you know, last year Pat Robertson had said that prayers could have stopped tornadoes during their tornado season, and in the past Michelle Bachmann had said that, you know, tornadoes were, or well, it may have been hurricanes in that instance, but either way, it was the, you know, the wrath of God being incurred against our liberal society and all of that.
And blaming the gays because, you know, hey, let's take out a whole state because there's one person there that's gay.
Right. I find this thinking to be patently absurd.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I'm coming from a place where I do not believe in God. Weather is something that the science of weather is not something that we have a full understanding of at this point.
Right. We're still figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, just watch the news and see how good the meteorologist predicted to know how well we understand it at this point.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But there's no, I mean, it's kind of a God of the gaps argument at that point where you say, you know, we can't explain something, therefore God did it, which just makes absolutely no sense to me.
Right.
Praying. You saw this woman who had been interviewed by Wolf Blitzer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she Wolf Blitzer gets out there. Oh, well, you thank God you made the right. She tells what happened. Says, well, I guess sitting in my bathtub, my neighbor said, this stuff happens all the time. Just sit in your bathtub, ride it out. And she's watching the storm on her laptop saying, this tornado's coming for me. I'm getting my car. I'm getting out of here.
Yes.
And so she comes back and finds the house is gone. And her husband out there digging through the rubble trying to find her because he was out of town at the time. And he goes, well, did you thank the Lord? It's like, well, I'm an atheist. She kind of, she had her child, she's like hiding behind her child because like, I guess she was a little embarrassed being asked that question, which the no journalist should be asking that question. Did you thank God?
I completely agree. No journalist should do that.
Right, exactly. And then,
and I agree too.
Yes, exactly. And then she goes, well, I'm an atheist. Well, you threw him off his script. He goes, well, I guess you made the right call. Well, of course she made the right call because she knew that there's no God looking out for her, you know, and there's no God at all that's going to save this town. It's especially if God set everything in motion, then he wanted those houses destroyed.
Yeah, and that's really the thing to me is that they say like, you know, I thank God that I survived this disaster. Well, are you thanking God that the disaster occurred in the first place?
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, who's on, as Joe had said on Wednesday, I mean, who's on the right side of the street there?
Right. Yeah. If the tornado takes out your house, but or doesn't take out your house and takes out your neighbor's house because you prayed more, what if they were praying more? What if they were in? What if they were actually the ones who were praying and, you know, maybe God said, hey, they're praying. Hey, let's go over here to talk to them. And boom. Oh, wait a minute. That was the tornado. I wasn't supposed to go over there with the tornado. They were praying to me. These guys over here, they weren't praying. Oh, I was supposed to take them out. Well, I guess I got a little confused. You know, praying after and praying then after the fact, send prayers. Why didn't you not send prayers? Because prayers are not going to – why pray after the fact? Because why are you praying to a God that's supposedly taking all this shit out? We got about 3 minutes left. I'm sorry. Crystal, your thoughts.
Well, you know, I'm not going to win this battle, and I'm not even going to try to. I think that's just a personal thing. The first thing I want to say is Pat Robertson and Michelle Bachmann and all them give Christians a really bad name.
Yes, they do. I will agree with you there.
You know, we're not all that bad, people. Come on, really. It really, it's a hard thing to explain. And I think, you know, like Wednesday it was brought up, it's like prayer just gives you comfort. Well, perhaps that's so, but I think it's the human condition to speak on what your own experience is anyway. I don't think Wolf Blitzer was trying to embarrass this lady or call her out. He's just speaking from where he's coming from. No, I don't think it was appropriate, but I don't think it was an intentional, you know, hit at her, and she handled it with such grace and such dignity, and if we do that, we learn from each other. That's what I wanted to say about that. The tornadoes and the storms, how do you explain that? You can't. There was loss of life. There was kids involved. There were people injured, families torn apart. Lives are ruined, and I'm at a loss to explain that for you, and I never will be able to.
Yeah.
It's just a personal faith. I just have to... That's just a belief. I can't explain it, and I can't explain why that would happen or why anybody was spared or anybody was, you know, or who wasn't.
Yeah, with tornadoes, they're just crazy. You know, tornadoes do anything, really. I've been researching tornadoes and the weird activity that goes on with tornadoes for years, and I've seen pictures of chickens completely plucked clean. They lived, and then I've seen pieces of straw, you know, like straw like you see in a field, that have been pushed right through a tree because the winds picked it up and pushed it right through. Now,
oh, yeah. We got Tornado Alley right here, so I've seen all that firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. And tornadoes are a very odd phenomenon. And that's the only thing that's the way I chalk it up. It's a weather phenomenon. It has nothing – personally, it has nothing to do with God. And – one way or the other, God couldn't have stopped it because God didn't start it. Because I personally don't believe in a God there, as far as there a God being involved one way or the other. So the fact is that since I don't believe in a God, it's the tornado's fault, not a God's fault, and not a devil's fault either. So,
well, I kind of look at it like this way: just look at it as a human thing. And if they choose to believe, that's fine. And if they get comfort from that or solace or whatever, then that's fine. But look at it more on how you can help these people. I'm not I'm not agreeing with you about prayers don't work. I disagree with you there. But I do agree with you. Like, get up off your ass, send some money, do something.
There you go. There you go.
To help these folks.
Yeah, see, the reason why I think people say they send prayers because they don't want to send money. They say it makes them feel good that they think they did something. So, you know, I personally, if you can't do anything, then just admit it that I'm broke. I can't send anything. I'm barely taking care of myself. But that is our time. And it was a good discussion. But yes, overall, don't send prayers for Oklahoma. Send money. And Ricky Gervais, if you're out there watching, you shouldn't have taken down that tweet. You said the right thing. You know, it's like, because he was after, he just real quick here, he went after these other actors that said, oh, send prayers there. He said, oh, stupid me, I just sent money. And it's like, that was the right.
And he deleted the tweet?
And he deleted the tweet.
Did he?
Yes, he did. That's what I heard just today. He deleleted that tweet.
That was a great tweet.
It was a great tweet. He was right to have said it, but he got pressured to take it down, most likely. You did the wrong thing by taking it down, my friend. You took it. You did the right thing by saying it, because you need to stand up to these people. You need to stand up and tell them that they were wrong.
Stand up to the assholes. Don't target people like me, okay?
Right.
Stand up to the assholes.
Exactly.
If we want to send prayers and send money, it's not hurting you.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So I'm praying and sending money. I'm just covering both bases, folks.
There you go. Hey, you, personally, I think you're going to do more with the money than you will with the prayer, but...
You'd be surprised. I have connections.
She has direct line to God.
Damn straight.
Oh, my daughter wants to quick say something here.
To add to, like, what the discussion is, like, I agree, please don't send prayers to these people. Like, send them money. Send them so they can rebuild their lives. I mean, I'm sure prayers help people emotionally, but physically, it's not going to help them whatsoever. It's not going to make their house come back by praying.
Right.
They need money to help rebuild this. And
right.
It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So, yeah, tornadoes are scary things. Please, you know, do what you got to do to survive. Don't wait for your God to save you. All right. Let's get to our next subject for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Tonight, we're doing a new topic. Since we're doing a little bit shorter show, we've got a new topic. We're going to talk, did you know they were an atheist? Tonight's our first, did you know they were an atheist, is, you just heard him, Frank Sinatra. Well, there'll be people out there who will say, Frank Sinatra, he wasn't an atheist. He was a Christian. Well, he was probably a skeptic, but he was most likely an atheist. But you got to remember the time that he was alive. He was born in 1915, and... In that time period, atheism was not being pushed a whole lot. And if you came out as an atheist, well, you could have killed your career or your life or whatever. You know, you would have lost your wife, your family, anything like that. So he would have been fine now, but then it would have been bad for him. However, as he became, you know, the chairman of the board, so he had supposed connections to organized crime, alleged. Anyway, but he said, since he was very, very big, you didn't diss Frank, you know, because if you did, you were supposed to have found yourself under about 6 feet of sand, and you would without a breathing mask of any kind. But that set aside, he had an interview with Playboy, and he said, quote, I believe in nature, in the birds, the sea, the sky, in everything I can see, or that there is real evidence for. If these things are what you mean by God, then I believe in God. But I don't believe in a personal God, to whom I look forward or comfort for natural on the next roll of the dice. So, and that was Frank Sinatra. That's a direct quote from Frank Sinatra. So basically, Frank was basically an atheist. He did not believe in a personal God. I don't believe in a personal God. The fact of a personal God is just, I think it's patently absurd. There's a lot of people who are out there who don't believe in a personal God, or a God for that matter, and that basically makes them an atheist. Crystal, your thoughts?
I was really impressed by this. I mean, I did not know this until we were, you know, looking into some of these stories. like you said, and just to add on to that, this was a 1963 Playboy interview, which, mm-hmm. as you said, that was very risky for him. Even though he had his protection and nobody messed with him, that was a very risky and brave move to come out that way.
Yes, it was.
And I admire anybody that, I don't care what you believe, if you believe, but that you stand firm in your non-belief or your belief. And right. that's impressive to me. Yes. I've got a great quote that's from the same thing, the 63 Playboy interview, that just said, I'm for anything that gets you through the night, be it prayer, tranquilizers, or a bottle of Jack Daniels. But to me, religion is a deeply personal thing in which man and God go it alone together without the witch doctor in the middle.
Yeah.
So actually, Frank and I are on the same side. He basically admitted atheism. I'm a believer, but we actually have the same value there.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed with him. Fly me to the moon, baby.
Yes. And there was another quote that it says, there are things about organized religion which I resent. Christ is revered as the Prince of Peace, but more blood has been shed in his name than any other figure in history. You show me one step forward in the name of religion, and I'll show you 100 regressions. Remember, they were men of God who destroyed the educational treasures of Alexandria, who perpetrated the Inquisitions in Spain, who burned the witches at Salem. Over 25,000 organized religions flourished on this planet, but the followers of each think all the others are miserably misguided and probably evil as well. So there you go. There's another great quote that, you know, more evidence of the fact that he may have been an atheist after all.
He's a badass.
Yes, he was. He was a bad, damn badass. And I would never go against Frank, even if he was alive today.
Hail to the no.
Dave, your thoughts?
Well, I'm not completely convinced that he was fully an atheist.
Mm. He's probably more a skeptic than he is an atheist, but...
Well, from what I've read, his whole, like, the beginning of the quote that you had read at the beginning of this is that he says, quote, "I think I can sum up my religious feelings in a couple of paragraphs. Mm-hmm. First, I believe in you and me. I'm like Albert Schweitzer and Bertrand Russell and Albert Einstein in that I have a respect for life in any form." To me, from what I've heard, sounds more like pantheism, which Richard Dawkins calls sexed up atheism.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's essentially a philosophical position on God, where God is not a literal being, but rather a philosophical entity.
Right.
I find it interesting to note a few things here that, just in all fairness, I think should be thrown out.
Okay.
One is that, obviously, I mean, he called himself a Catholic.
Yeah.
And he obviously did not live the lifestyle of a Catholic. He was divorced
not far
four
from
times.
It. Yeah.
You know, divorce is very frowned upon in the Catholic faith.
No.
But one thing that's worthy of noting is that his fourth wife, Barbara, converted to Catholicism because of his request.
Really? No, I didn't know that.
He very much was a skeptic, and he very much had problems with organized religion. He probably, I mean, again, taking into the context of the time that he was talking about all of this, it was an unfavorable opinion to have
to
disbelieve those sort of things.
I live in 2013. It's still unfavorable to say you're an atheist.
No, absolutely. But I mean, I think that in all fairness, if we're going to talk about it, we should bring up the fact that his fourth wife did convert to Catholicism upon his request.
Yeah, we don't know why he made that request, though. So.
No, we don't. I mean, it may very well have been because of, you know, keeping up with the Joneses or whatever.
Yeah, it could have just been for, you know, because he was in show business, could have just been for show.
Sure. No, I agree. And as I say, I think that what he's saying is more like a pantheistic, you know, philosophical position than straight up atheism.
Interesting. Well, that's a possibility too. I mean, I think it's like you said, it's sexed up atheism. So I think it's still closer to atheism than it would be.
I agree.
To deism. So.
Well, she probably would put him in the doghouse, and he would pretty much say whatever he needed to say.
That's quite plausible as well.
Yes.
Let's get real here.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. All right. Well, that was a great discussion. We hope to have some more. If you have somebody you would like us to talk about in this subject, did you know they were an atheist? Post it on our Facebook page over at facebook.com/PackardPokesAt. And if you have a story you want us to talk about, post it up on Packard Pokesat over on Facebook. And leave it for us and say, hey, we want you to talk about this. And we will look at all the stories and we will take and we will choose which one's the best one and we'll talk about it. Sometimes if you don't, then we'll just keep doing what we're doing.
But send it to me anyway. I'll talk to you one way or the other. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Or just post it up there. We'll talk to you either one way or the other. But if you want to post it there or you want to get in touch with us other ways, we'll tell you how to do that right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week as PackardPokesAt on Twitter and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts who enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. While you're there, don't forget to snap on the Focus on Photography group. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
And thank you. Wow, that's trying to get all this in.
Impressive, Joe. Impressive.
Joe, yeah, that is very impressive, Joe, especially since he's not here. But if you want to get in touch with us, Facebook, Twitter, email, we're all over. You just type in Packard Sonic or Packard Pokesat, you'll find us. There's no way you can't miss us. You can swing a dead cat in a chat room and you can still hit us. So, but I want to thank everybody for coming, and especially to our first real short show. Due to, you know, work circumstances I have to deal with now. But please come again next Friday. We should have a longer show, and we'll have much more to talk about and a lot more stories. So this has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Contradictions in the Bible. What were the centurion's words at the cross? According to the Bible, Matthew 27:54, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Yeah, he was the Son of God, all right, but don't call him Shirley. However, according to Luke 23:47, the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Did you like that, kids?
Yay!
Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.
Oh.